Welcome, everyone, to the latest episode of the Here's Johnny podcast. I am your host, Larry, and I am joined by your special guest tonight, Ed Kemper.
Okay, that's what Michelle said, too. That's actually why I kept the mustache and shaved everything else.
Yeah. Those, obviously, this is a podcast, so you can't see. Justin is rocking glasses and a mustache. And,
damn straight.
I was unprepared for it, and I was watching this documentary on Discovery Plus today about Ed Kemper, and here he is with me tonight. So
yeah.
I'm just, living that life.
Yeah, I invested in some blue light glasses actually that have been helping me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've noticed a drastic difference. Like my eyes don't hurt at night anymore.
Oh, cool.
But they obviously look different than how I normally look, and I was like covering up some facial hair, and I was like, oh fuck, if I leave the mustache. So I did it without telling Michelle, and yeah.
It doesn't look bad. I just, because I just watched that documentary today, it was just the first thing that came to my mind, so.
Oh, yeah, no. Whatever. I don't care.
All right. So you said you had some things you wanted to share in what's been new with you. So I'll go first because mine's pretty short. I got my second COVID shot on Monday. I really didn't feel sick, but I did get like super phlegmy, and then last night before bed, I got like cramps, like muscle cramps in my arms.
Oh yeah, you're telling me, but
which was
yeah.
Really, I had to put like Bengay on my my shoulders and stuff, and took some melatonin to actually help me fall asleep. It was crazy. That has not happened since like boxing, but it's done. It's in the past. I'm feeling good today, and yeah, so that's like the personal stuff. Book wise, still listening to the Aragon series on Audible. Movie wise, I watched Saw 2, 3, and 4 immediately after we recorded the Saw 1 review with Rachel and Mars. Mainly because I was just, after talking to you guys about it, I was just kind of in a good spot. I was pretty excited about it. And I won't lie, I had a good time. I had a far better time than I did with Resident Evil movies, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I feel like the Saw series holds up a little better.
We'll see, because I'm waiting to watch 5, 6, and 3D until
we record
the next one. Yeah, so I don't get too swamped in the story. So that's where I'm at with the movies. Obviously, I watched Godzilla vs. Kong. But honestly, besides that, I've been watching some Yankees baseball. Baseball started up, I'm sure. I don't think there's a lot of people in our community who like the sports as much as I do, but...
It's somebody's thing, right?
I have been watching some Yankees baseball. I've been playing some Bravely Default 2. I actually went back and got a secret job because I'm kind of stuck on a boss fight. Even though I'm way over leveled, I just can't get through. It's I'm not sure how far you are, but there's a tank.
I've stopped playing. I haven't played it in weeks.
There's a tank job class.
Okay.
Like, not an actual, but like super armored up and stuff.
I just can't
get through it. Because he has a healer in the back that's hard to hit, and it's just a pain in the butt. But I heard... I went back and unlocked the Gambler subclass because there's a card game inside Bravely Default 2, which I didn't know about, which don't even get me started.
Okay. Is it better or worse than...
I hate Triple Triad. I hate all those games. Dude.
Okay.
Card games,
all right.
Card games and video games are just not my thing.
Yeah.
And then playing Death Stranding, and then Devin actually has to go into the office on Saturday because it's the last weekend before tax season's over.
Yeah.
So I'm planning on putting together a solid 8-hour stream Saturday morning.
Oh, fuck. Of just and Death Stranding? Or?
6 hours of Death Stranding and 2 of Final Fantasy, because I think since I'm not going for the Platinum anymore, I think I might be able to get to Sin in 2 hours.
Where are you about? Like
getting ready to interrupt the wedding.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You're further than that, aren't you? I know Because I had to look around because I grinded a little bit off stream just because I wasn't leveling up the right people because I was trying to go for the platinum, so I was doing a lot of stuff. And the Bavel Guardian, whatever the hell, the dragon in the air thing wrecked my face. So I had to go and get some third tier magic. But I'm trying to think. That's been it, man. I've just kind of been busy with like work because now it's like, I know not in Canada, but here in the US things are rapidly approaching normal.
Oh, I mean, even if things are like, we have a stay-at-home order and all this shutdown stuff happening here, and it doesn't affect me whatsoever. So,
well, there you go. We're
essential. So,
yeah. All right, buddy. So, what has been new with you, and what are these two things you wanted to share? Oh, fuck.
Okay. I've actually been pretty busy.
Okay, cool.
So, obviously, we already recorded our first Saw thing for the first movie. It was great. I had a great time. I'm really looking forward to getting into the rest of the movies. I have watched Saw 2 and 3 with Randy, Rachel, and Tuck.
Okay.
I believe next Monday, so the day this comes out, we're going to be watching Saw 4, which I'm really excited for because I remember it being my favorite one, but I it's been a long time since I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, enjoying myself more than I kind of thought I was going to. I'm obviously a fan of those movies, but I thought they would hold up a little less, if that makes sense. Like, I went in expecting them to be kind of bad.
Oh, me too. 100%.
Yeah. And I don't know, something about it is just, I've been enjoying it more than I thought.
Good.
Watched Godzilla vs. Kong. I think that's it for movies. For games, I am at Sin in Final Fantasy X.
Okay. Oh, damn.
Yeah. Well, I've
inside Sin?
I'm just about to do the whole get inside Sin thing. So I think that's it for movie. Oh yeah, I already talked about that. And then I'm just about to go into Sin because usually I've been playing Pokemon at work, but I haven't since I've kind of taken a break in between Blue and Crystal, whatever the basically third one of the next gen is.
Yeah.
And then I have been playing two other games that, we actually got from Evolve PR, and I'm
oh, wow, okay.
So I'm just going to kind of take a second to talk about both of them. At first, you know what, I'm going to talk about, Paradise Lost first.
Like, the book?
Well, it's actually a game as well. I've never read
the book.
I have no idea, so you'll have to tell me. I'm going to read the description, and you can tell me.
Okay.
It's winter 1980.
No.
Okay. Okay. So basically, it is a boy raised in a post-apocalyptic wasteland finds an abandoned Nazi bunker. Will he find what he's looking for? Play Paradise Lost and explore an underground world where Slavic mythology mixes with retro-futuristic technology, discover the last story on Earth. And the reason I'm kind of doing it this way, and I think it'll become very apparent by the time I'm done with the next one, is, man, this game had so much promise going into it. It kind of reminded me of creepier walking simulators, if you will, like The Suicide of Rachel Foster and... I don't know. It really didn't nail anything. The voice acting isn't the greatest, and I feel like the story itself just unfolds a little too slow.
Okay. I'm curious because I've actually read the John Milton poem.
Okay.
The poem is about the biblical story of the fall from grace of, like, Adam and Eve.
Okay.
Like, from the Garden of Eden and stuff. Does it tie into that at all?
I have never read the poem, so I wouldn't be able to tell you.
You know about Adam and Eve and the snake tricking them?
Yeah.
Is it have anything to do with that at all?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Weird.
Yeah.
Weird choice. Okay.
Well, and the worst part is, like, the reveal trailer for this game was, like, basically it made it seem like you were going to be walking through this almost, like, frozen-in-time action set piece of what was going on in World War II. But obviously, like, a little more.
With the name Paradise Lost.
Man, you're stuck on that, huh?
Well, I mean, it's just that, like,
yeah,
that poem is just so, like, in world literature, it's, like, up there, one of the greatest works done. So it just seems very strange it would call itself that and not hearken to it at all.
I mean, if it helps.
It's literally about, it's about the fall of man. So, like, you know the story.
I mean, it does take place in an apocalyptic wasteland, kind of. So I guess it's got that going for it. But no, The reason I only really want to talk about it for like a minute here is because this was a very my I guess you could say hype level for it was very like mid range. Like I wasn't overly excited for it, but I was like, oh yeah, you know, this could be interesting. But man, the story just like it really drags. And the environments are cool. There's lots of, like, detail, attention to detail, but none of it's, like, interactive.
Okay.
And, I don't know, man, it just really does not... It's like the final Resident Evil movie. It has, like, a hint of promise.
Yeah.
You know, oh, yeah, ooh, shit, they're going back to Raccoon City. Oh, this is going to be awesome, blah, blah, blah. And then it just...
So remind you of some of those other walking simulators that you did like, but never actually hit the mark you were looking forward to hit.
Yeah, basically. So obviously, I would say pass if you are looking into it. So that's the other thing. I was kind of expecting something.
Yeah.
Even if it's like not actually there, kind of when you're walking through the abandoned motel of in the suicide of Rachel Foster, you're kind of tricked into thinking that something is chasing you or there is something around the corner just with like things covering like a clock, like a sheet covering a clock. You happen to turn quickly and you think there's somebody there kind of thing. This had none of it. And it was just kind of what it was. And then the last thing I want to quickly talk about,
okay,
and
this is going to be next game review. Okay.
Yeah. This is going to be real quick.
Okay.
It is called Vaporeon Lockdown.
I got excited. I almost thought you were saying Vaporeon. I was like, there's a spinoff game just for Vaporeon. Let's go.
No, Vaporeon Lockdown is a grid-based dungeon crawler RPG.
No,
In an original steampunk setting inspired by old-school classics of the genre, follow the story of Ellie Teller, a scientist struggling to survive disastrous events that happen in the Tower of Arx Vaporeon. And basically, it is like a first-person grid-based RPG. And the problem is that there was a lot of these games kind of back in the day.
Yeah.
And I think there's a reason we don't really see them around anymore. And I think that this game falls into that same trap.
There are two I recently played. One was Pokemon Mystery Dungeon DX.
Was that like a... Yeah.
As similar to tactics, which I'm sure this is probably more like tactics than it was to this. Then the only other one I played recently was the South Park one.
The South Park one?
Yeah, South Park Fractured Butthole.
Oh, no. I'm talking like this is like a first-person game. Like you are...
Really? But I thought it was grid-based.
It is.
That doesn't seem like it'd be a pleasant experience.
It can be. There are games like... there's a spinoff kind of like the... Shin Megami Tensei games called Entry and Odyssey.
By the way, my friend.
Oh, we'll talk. We're going to talk.
Okay. Nocturne, after watching that video, I am intrigued.
You shouldn't have told me that. but no, unfortunately, just this game fails to kind of capture what those games had. And I feel like it's just because everything kind of feels a little too slow and... it's kind of hard to tell where you're going, so you can just like fall down these holes that kill you instantly, and then you're brought back like 10 minutes.
Okay.
And it just kind of feels like a bummer, especially when you're, I don't know, playing like I was playing on the Switch, so I'm on my break and I'm like playing it, like, oh yeah, okay, this will be fun, and then I die, I fall down a trap, I guess a hole, because it's too dark and I can't see anything, and I lose like all the progress I made.
Well, that's frustrating.
It was incredibly frustrating, and. I don't know. I just feel like it's a little too clunky, and there felt like there was a lot of like slow down, like the performance wasn't very good. I think no. It's a very like steampunky. It kind of gave me the vibes of like a BioShock, but nowhere near as close.
Still
in like
have
the
to play those games.
Yeah, BioShock is better if you're going to play any of these games. Play BioShock. But yeah, honestly, it's kind of in there with I would skip this as well because, I don't know, just there seemed to be everything about it. It has promise.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, it was a little lacking and it just, nothing really hit. And then again, with the performance issues, like I was having like stuttering and the game crashed a couple times. So it was just
another
kind of,
pass.
Yep. Another pass.
All right. Thank you, Evolve PR. We will include the links to the pertinent information in the show notes. But Justin, this is our last episode before the Saw mini season. Yes. It is our first new movie release.
When was
the last year, I think.
What was the last new movie release?
Oh, man. I don't have all of that in front of me. I could go to Libsyn, but it'll slow my computer down. I will look and let people know by the end of the episode.
Okay.
I'll take some time to look.
Okay.
But, yeah. You know what? Has been established that I am a bigger fan of the Godzilla universe than Justin.
Oh, absolutely.
I kind of grew up with these films, whereas Justin kind of got forced into them this season.
Yeah.
But over the last few weeks, correct me if I'm wrong, you did watch the three preceding MonsterVerse movies, right?
Yeah, so I watched King of Monsters and Kong.
But you skipped the first Godzilla.
Yeah.
Which is totally fine. And you have no theaters open near you, right? So you watched this on HBO Max?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Devin and I did go see it in theaters.
Oh, nice. I'm jealous. We'll get to it when we get to Spiral.
Yeah, it was very nice. But why wait? This is not the 1962 version, and this is a new movie release, so spoilers. Haven't had to do this for a while because we've been doing old stuff. Spoilers. But yeah, it's a 2021 American monster film directed by Adam Wingard. Justin, we have seen an Adam Wingard film on this podcast before. What was it? We actually talked to people about Adam Wingard in interviews.
Oh my god. I have no idea. I have no idea. I'm not even going to pretend. Let's see. I'm looking at Libsyn right now. It was... No. Okay, none of those movies. It wasn't 2010.
Blair Witch.
I was just looking at Blair Witch 2016. God damn it.
That's what it was. He's kind of like a master of all trades. He's done films like Your Next, The Guest, Death Note, which... No.
You don't like Death Note?
I love Death Note. It was the first anime I watched.
I just realized you're talking about the Netflix adaptation.
Yes.
That piece of trash.
There you go. But another fun thing I found out in my research, Wingard is set to direct and co-write a direct sequel to Face Off.
I know you're excited about that, but I am.
I don't know how they're going to do it, but I'm here for it. And he's also working on an adaptation of the classic animated series Thundercats.
Oh, that could be fun.
Yeah. The film was scored by, let me find his name, because I didn't recognize the name when I was going through this, and then I realized I knew who it was. Tom Holkenborg. Name probably means nothing to you, right?
Absolutely not. Nothing.
It's because he goes by Junkie XL. For some reason, he didn't credit himself as Junkie XL on this. Do you know, does Junkie XL ring a note for you?
It probably should, but
it
I
should.
Mean, we've...
So he kind of learned under Hans Zimmer.
Okay.
And he worked on Man of Steel, Batman vs. Superman, Mad Max Fury Road, Deadpool, Tomb Raider, Alita Battle Angel, Terminator Dark Fate, the Sonic movie, and Zack Snyder's Justice League.
A lot of
but I had never heard his actual name. I'd never heard Tom Hulkenberg before. I had known him as Junkie XL. So I was looking into it, like, oh, I don't know this one. And then I was like, I know exactly who this man is. Like, I know exactly who this is. The movie is a direct sequel to King of the Monsters.
Yeah.
And we have some old faces come up, the main one being Millie Bobby Brown.
Yeah, yeah.
She was the daughter of the bad girl, bad or semi-bad girl.
Doctor.
Woman, doctor yeah. woman, yeah.
Scientist?
Warren. No, Warren. From The Conjuring.
That's
Vera Farmiga. Wow. Thank you. But yes, but Millie Bobby Brown, we know her from Stranger Things, obviously. And in her escapades, she is played by Brian Tyree Henry, who I actually like a whole lot. He was in the new Child's Play movie, and then he was also in the film If Beale Street Could Talk, which I really like.
Is that sorry, which one is that her friend?
It is no. This is the undercover agent.
Oh, okay, I was gonna say I know her friend,
the guy with the podcast. Us.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, I know it hit a little too close to home there, right off the bat.
Made me kind of question my life and stuff. But yeah, so that's who Brian Tyree Henry is. And then on Team Godzilla, we have Alexander Skarsgård.
Yep, Skarsgård brother. Yeah,
used to be one of the bigger Skarsgårds. It's a fun thing to say until his little brother took over the role of Pennywise. But Alexander was known for roles in Big Little Lies. He was in True Blood, and he played Randall Flagg in the Stand miniseries that came out over the summer.
I still have yet to watch that.
I heard they retconned the ending, and not in a good way.
I never even read that book, so.
If you ever do, just read the first half, and you can move on.
Okay.
He is joined by primatologist, supposed advocate of Kong, but kind of a terrible, terrible doctor and pseudo-mother, Rebecca Hall. She was in The Prestige. She was in the film Frost Nixon. She was in The Town. She was in Iron Man 3. And those are the big ones that she was in. She's coming out in a movie coming out this year. I saw trailers for it. The House, like Night House. Have you seen trailers for that movie?
No. I try not to watch trailers anymore to
it's kind of like, hype it up for looks nothing. Looks very weird.
By the way, do you know what the last new movie we saw was?
What was it? You found it.
Doctor Sleep in 2019.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, at least we went out on a bang.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? That's fair.
It's a top 10 media on our show.
Yeah, fuck, man. That
Because
that
somehow
long
Mike
ago,
Flanagan
though.
Was able to tie Kubrick and King together in a nice little bow. Still props to that man. Okay. The other character I want to talk about, only because I have recently been rewatching the series that made him famous, Lance Reddick is in this movie. He plays the leader of Monarch. His role is very small. Apparently, they cut a lot of his stuff due to time, which, I mean, we'll talk about it when we get to it, but the less people in a Godzilla movie, the better. But I know him because he was one of the main characters in The Wire, and he was Matthew Abaddon in the show Lost, which I think you watched, right?
Oh, yeah, I've seen a ton of Lost. I couldn't remember any of it, but...
And then he's done a lot of voice acting in video games, which is also why I brought him up. He was Martin Hatch in Quantum Break, Seans in Horizon Zero Dawn, and my favorite, Commander Zavala in Destiny.
So you brought him up because he's in Destiny.
I brought him up because he was in The Wire. I actually didn't know he voice acted in Destiny until I read this. And then I was like, oh, wow, that is absolutely him.
Yeah.
So... This was supposed to come out last November, but got delayed due to COVID. But it wasn't the first time it got delayed because it's been in like production hell like forever. Like it was announced in October of 2015, and it took forever just to get the damn thing shot, which is crazy because King of the Monsters and Kong Skull Island all did very well.
Yeah, when did King of the Monsters come out?
Oh man, you are.
That's okay. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
2019.
Okay. Okay.
But they wanted to have him come out yearly. Like, that was the plan, was to get him going.
Yeah.
So this was the first big test of HBO Max's new model. post-COVID? Because right now, the way it works is that some of these movies are getting theatrical releases, but they're also releasing the same time. No one really counted Wonder Woman because we were still kind of in the height of, it was like winter time, but now it's springtime. The weather's getting better.
Yeah.
People are getting vaccinated, so they want to test the water. And it was also a time to test whether they wanted to continue the MonsterVerse, which is insane to me because the other movies had all done well. But the reason why there's no post-credit scene is because they wanted to end the franchise here. That was that was the plan because they didn't think it was going to do well. I can't find any reasoning as to why they wanted to kill it because the other movies did well at the box office. So I'm not really sure what was going on here with that. But the movie did way better than expectations allowed. They were expecting, from estimates I've seen, to make between 10 and 20 million at the box office in America. Instead, it made like 47 million. And to date, shot on a budget of $155 million, it has grossed $285.6 million today. And that is not even taking into account the amount of views it got by people like you who watched on HBO Max.
Damn. So, yeah, we're definitely getting another one of these.
So that ties into the last thing I want to talk about. Obviously, it's been discussions about the future. And because they were at the quote-unquote crossroads, this movie is being seen as a success. Most people seem to like it when they went and saw it. It drove people to the theaters, which they weren't expecting to be done, especially not for like a Godzilla or a Kong movie. And hopefully we will get more. And it's kind of fun because there's no post-credit scene, so we might actually get like a surprise as to what might come next. My hope is we just get a straight, we let Godzilla and Kong chill for a little bit. Give me a Mothra movie, honestly.
Oh, really? Like you want them to go like kind of like the Rodan Mothra route and just kind of give everyone kind of their time in the spotlight?
Yeah, because like Mothra has a lot of really cool mythology behind it. There are other beasts they could do too. They could even go like into the way past and like go into the original landing of King Ghidorah if they wanted to bring Ghidorah back.
I was just gonna say I would fucking love to see a Ghidorah
like literally
movie.
Just drop all the human characters and just have 2 hours of monster fights.
Don't make promises you can't keep, Larry.
Hey, I'm not the one writing it. Just I feel like I could write a pretty good MonsterVerse movie, but it's not my job. So with that, I am ready to do the summary if you're good too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have a clock right in front of me. I'm going to give myself a 3, 2, 1, and then go. All right. 3, 2, 1, go. So basically, the movie starts off with the fact that there's this company that is doing tests. Godzilla has an attack since the end of King of the Monsters, but Godzilla comes and attacks this place, and they're like, oh no, Godzilla's bad. For some reason, they're trying to get to the center of the Earth, and there's this weird physics mechanic around it, which doesn't make any sense. Don't think about it. So they go to this woman who's supposed to take care of Kong, and then she's like, Kong, come with me. And he's been trapped in a cage. They take him to the center of the Earth. They'll give him a suit, throw him through this weird portal. He doesn't get hurt for some reason, but the other people go through this weird loop, and they're protected by this shield. That is after Godzilla beats his ass. He goes down there. Godzilla blows a hole through the center of the Earth to call Kong up. Kong grabs this axe, comes up. Godzilla's getting his ass kicked by Mechagodzilla. I'm skipping so many things. It's been a while since I saw this
movie.
That's okay. Basically, what happens is Godzilla beats the shit out of Kong. Kong gets back up by getting defibrillated with the heart thing. Then Godzilla and Kong beat up Mechagodzilla, destroy it, and they go their separate ways, and Kong takes over the center of the Earth, and Godzilla goes to sleep at the bottom of the ocean. Time.
Yeah. So
sorry,
before,
that was sloppy. Oh my gosh.
Before we get any further, we can both agree that Godzilla won, right?
There's not even a discussion to be had.
Okay, good. I'm glad because like I fully went into this thinking, okay, you know, there might be like some back and forth.
Wingard had said explicitly there'd be a winner. And there was.
Oh, absolutely.
The first fight, like, you definitely give. So, let's talk plot. First thing was get out of the way. The people stuff, don't give a fuck about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I could not give two shits. I like the evil corporation thing by Mechagodzilla. I think you do need to establish that. And I think it would also be really cool to, I don't know the character's name, the guy who was inside Ghidorah's head controlling him. Like, they didn't show him
you don't remember his name, right?
No.
Oh my god. Mecha Godzilla 2021. Sorry, I have to look up his name because...
You know him?
It is... I'm trying to find the guy, but it's a Sarazawa. It's one of the... It's like... That's his, like, character's name is something Sarazawa.
Oh, really?
So, does that mean he is related to... Isn't the, like, Dr. Sarazawa, like, the main scientist in...
I think so. It's been a,
King
it's been
of
a
the
while.
Monsters?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, I think it would
be... Yeah, sorry.
I enjoyed the evil corporation creating Mechagodzilla stuff. Then. People suck. That is, like, my takeaway. Like, the primatologist literally uses Kong, uses little girl... She's a takes a little girl to the center of the earth where she could die. Like, literally, it's just a terrible person. All the people in this movie are terrible people. Except for Millie Bobby Brown and Tyree Henry and her goofy comedic relief friend. But their story doesn't even matter.
So, the funny thing is obviously I watched this with Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole time, we were like, okay, you didn't fucking tell your deaf daughter to put on her fucking seatbelt. Like, her
Not
bones
her
are crushed.
Daughter. Not even her daughter, man.
No. Like...
It's the girl she found stranded on the island and is using to communicate with Kong. It's gross. And then they kill off all the people, the entire tribe that have been living on Skull Island for millennia with a sentence. Because yep. A storm came. Don't even get me started. So, when it comes to plot, with the exception of the evil mega corporation, it sucks. People need to learn the best part about these movies is the monster fights, especially with how they did it in this. We'll talk about more in cinematography. The monster fights, the monster fights, the monster fights. Before we get to those, because that'll be fun to talk about, the last thing I want to make a quick note on, I bitched a lot in the underwater review about the science.
Yes.
The science didn't bother me in this. Why, you might ask? Because they didn't try to mix and match what made sense.
It just all, like, it's fantasy.
Yeah, this is what we're doing. Yeah. And it's like, okay, it makes no sense, but you aren't going to try to explain it to me. So I don't care. Whereas underwater, it's like, sometimes physics works and sometimes physics don't work. And you're just going to have to deal with it. In this one, they were just like, we're having fun. We're going to do our own thing. So just so I'm not called a hypocrite, that's always been my line. You can make up science. That's what science fiction is. But just don't make me try to believe it. Okay.
It is Ren Sarazawa. Okay. And he is the son of Shiro Sarazawa.
I want to see him come back. And there are so...
He's dead. He died.
No, he didn't.
He got electrocuted.
Doesn't mean he's dead.
Yeah, but...
He got electrocuted while being tied up inside Ghidorah's mind. I'm telling you, there could be more coming. Because there, I can't remember the
what if he's
Godzilla enemy
kind
name.
Of
there is like a Power Ranger looking bad guy for Godzilla.
Ultraman,
yeah, I think so. You know, talking about like the red suit or whatever and the weird pointed hat.
Yeah,
give me that. Give me Pacific Rim meets Godzilla and Kong. That's what I'm saying.
Okay,
that's what I'm saying, Justin.
I mean, I agree with you. I think the people stuff in this movie just. It fucking sucks.
I just don't need it. I don't care.
Yeah.
Like you try to build these characters up, I just don't care about them. I don't care about them.
And it sucks because, I mean, that does really hurt the plot. When
it does.
It, like, a lot.
Because the thing is like, you could have easily done a very little bit about how this organization was trying to make a Godzilla deterrent.
Yeah.
And doing that, they created... Godzilla.
Mm.
And then you could literally make it that the storm around Skull Island went away, so Godzilla went to go fight Kong. And like I'm saying, I agree that's much better. And then Godzilla comes there, Kong beats his ass, right?
Yeah.
And then they decide, okay, well, we're gonna bring Kong to the mainland to protect us. So then, but when Kong's out of his own element, he gets his ass beat by Godzilla. Like, you could have done these things. You didn't need to have all this weird exposition and stuff. So, whatever. Plot is, when it comes to the humans, sucks.
Yeah, and from what I understand, even in the, like, older Godzilla movies, is kind of always the case, just always with these movies.
Yes. You're watching for monster fights.
Yeah.
Okay, so now let's talk about the fun stuff. And I think the movie could literally just be told through the monster fights.
Oh, I think I could have watched 2 hours of monster fights and been way better off.
The fight on the ships was so cool. Like, the way the camera moved with everything, and the way Godzilla was coming at it, and the size mechanics and everything, I thought that was just brilliantly done. I really, really did. Also, humans suck by how they were treating Kong.
Kong? I'm not even a Kong absolutely. Fan.
I'm a Godzilla. I'm rooting for Godzilla, and I was sitting there feeling bad for Kong.
Oh, you don't mean you don't like him? Chained up? Yeah, drugged and chained up.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So then... And then they just throw Kong down that trick, had a little girl trick him to go down the hole. And they've been talking about how these special ships need to be used. Otherwise, we're going to get, like, what, squished or ripped apart or like whatever with the
gravity.
Whatever. The
reverses instantly.
The rainbow, then... the rainbow portal in the middle of the earth. Whatever. I don't care. But, like, no, go ahead, Godzilla. Like, you could have given the guy a suit. You could have put Kong in a cool ass suit, and you didn't do it. You missed a huge opportunity, and you failed yourselves.
And you lied to him and said, hey, your family's down there. Why don't you go get them?
Yeah. He did get the cool battle axe made out of a prior Godzilla's spine.
Spine thing, yeah.
Which was pretty cool. And then Godzilla realizes he's down there messing with things he shouldn't be messing
with.
And
he fucking blows a hole in the earth. Like,
it's so cool.
It's fucking wild.
So cool. And then Kong just climbs up it. Like,
yeah,
let's go.
Just nothing. Yeah, we had all this stuff prepared to like get the humans down. Nah, fuck that. Let's just go up.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And then the big fight happens. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think it was done really well. Like back and forth, upper hand and lower hand. I think they did a really good job at mitigating Godzilla's nuclear breath, because obviously that's the biggest thing that Kong really can't fight. I thought they did a really, really good job at using the axe as a way to mitigate that attack. But in the end, Godzilla won.
Oh, Godzilla literally killed King Kong.
Yes.
Like.
Then Mechagodzilla comes up, and Mechagodzilla is the ultimate threat that it was built out to be. And it looks so good. It looks so cool.
We'll have to talk about that a little bit. Okay. Yeah.
And then the humans... like use the ship to jumpstart Kong's heart.
Yeah, they like blow it up, or like they. I honestly don't even really. I don't know. I don't remember how they like.
They use the ship as like a way to like boost like the shock his heart.
But didn't they like blow it up or something to do that?
They overran the battery so it would shock him.
Yeah, that's it. People stuff in this movie is just so great.
It's so dumb. Like, the thing is, it literally could have just been that like Godzilla got beat, because he did.
Yeah,
and he's like stalking away, and then he realizes that like he could have just used that little girl, like he could see the little girl and come save me, and then they just go and decide to help Godzilla.
Yeah,
but instead he had to do this weird Scrubs situation. But whatever. But then Godzilla and Kong beat the hell out of Mechagodzilla.
Oh, instantly! I was actually kind of surprised. I thought it was gonna be like, they might not win.
So, like, part of it is just the fight was longer, but I'm happy that they showed, like, because they are two Alpha Titans. Like, they are the top, like, it was, like, him, Ghidorah, and Kong are, like, the three big Titans, at least strength-wise. So, I would have liked to have seen a longer fight, but, I mean, when Godzilla and Kong are on the same side. But that's why I think if you're going to bring Godzilla and Kong back, you have to have a much more otherworldly foe, like Biollante or Destroya or something. Like, you had to have something a lot more of a threat than something human made, which in the end is always not going to be as good.
Yeah.
Which is why I think it'd be kind of cool with Sarazawa's character, because like, I don't think he's dead, because they didn't, well, he might be dead, but they didn't like officially write him off, because he was connected to Ghidorah's mind. Like, maybe he's able to reach out to space and can bring down like a Destroya or something, because he has that telepathy connected to the former skull.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't got
this. I'm just saying, there are things they can do going forward.
Yeah.
That could cut out 90% of the human stuff. Listen to me, guys. I don't care. I don't care. I love Leonardo DiCaprio. I don't even care if you cast him in it. I don't want to see anybody talk. Just give me monsters fighting. Give me 10 minutes of this is why X is fighting Y, and then give me an hour and 50 minutes of the fight.
Yeah.
Even if you want to throw in a 15-minute intermission for me to go to the bathroom, get more popcorn to come back, that's fine.
I mean, they've said that they want to add, if they do more, they want to kind of do less human stuff and more monster stuff. Yeah, absolutely. Like, even in King of the Monsters,
which
the
monster fighting
was the fucking best part of that movie.
Yeah, because there's a lot of human stuff that I just don't care about.
Yeah.
Like, because it is cool when, like, they're with Mothra and Mothra is kind of being reborn. It is cool when they go down and crack Ghidorah out.
But we don't need, like, this whole... Okay, no, that's King of the Monsters we're talking about. Godzilla versus Kong.
Yes, you're right.
But the monsters. Just
this is better
monsters.
This is better than King of the Monsters.
I did think it, I know I had that, like, hot take right away.
Yeah.
I have settled on, I think the overall, mainly the monster fighting, I do like this better than King of the Monsters.
Yes. Okay, let's give it a score. So this was hard, because for me, when it was Godzilla and Kong, and Mechagodzilla going at it, I was in love. I was just having the best time. Even when we went to the center of the earth and all that stuff, like, I was really having a good time. But there's so much stupid human stuff. So I ended up getting
it. Easy for me.
I gave it a 6.5.
I gave it a 5.5. I gave half a point for the human stuff and 5 points for the monster stuff. If there was not 100% of the monster stuff, it probably would have got a 10 because the monster stuff was really fucking cool.
Okay. That's actually a really smart way to do it. I should have thought about that. I didn't think about that.
I only went into that because I remember you saying
I did that before. I know. God, you're a smart person. Okay. Cinematography. I'll go first because it sounds like you don't agree.
Okay. I think it might be the only thing we don't agree on in this, to be honest with you.
I think the movie is gorgeous.
Yeah.
I think every single scene shot is just beautiful. In particular, the final Hong Kong fight scene with the neon, like, 80s-looking lights and stuff. I absolutely love it. They do a lot of CG.
Absolutely.
Which I think is unavoidable if you're going to do a movie at this scale. Otherwise, you're going to look like the old Toho films.
Yeah.
Which we've talked about in their day. Like, the old Kong.
Oh,
the old Godzilla.
Great. Yeah.
They were amazing, but... if you're going to keep an audience engaged, you can't do that.
Yeah.
I had no problem with the CG. In particular, I really thought they brought Kong to life beautifully. Like, the emotions in his face and his movements. Like, Kong, again, this is coming from someone who is Team Godzilla all the way.
Yeah.
Was gorgeous. I honestly loved it. I thought the fights were great. I thought everything... I was really, really impressed with this movie. I think Mechagodzilla looked a little weird at times, like a little bit Uncanny Valley a few times. But overall, I was impressed. Maybe it's because I had low expectations because I knew there was going to be so much CG fighting.
Yeah.
I was ready to, like, not have, like, be in, not enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I have to be honest, I would say 90% of this movie I really liked.
As
far as cinematography goes.
I would... mostly agree with you. There was one, like, almost glaring issue I had, and it was the fact that when they were coming down / up through the, like, portal, it was just kind of hard to keep track of, like, obviously that was kind of the point.
When they were initially going to the center of the Earth?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because it's meant to be like a circle, right? It's supposed to be like a inside sphere. Yeah.
And it was just kind of like, at one point... I actually looked over at Michelle and I said, so are they going up or are they going down? What the hell is going on? Other than that, I do agree. I think obviously when you're making a movie about giant monsters, if you want to go for a more like gritty look, you have to go with the CG. And I think it does work here. I think it works fantastic.
Hiding
here.
It in those neon lights or in like water physics, which Hollywood has just perfected.
Now, I will be interested to see like, how this would stand up in 10 years, just because, I mean, we don't know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's always kind of the risk you take with CG, but I think they did it great. I mean, it looked realistic.
Yeah.
My issue, and this is going to sound like a weird issue, but Mechagodzilla, I know he's a robot, so he doesn't need it, but he was, like, too skinny.
I agree with that.
I was hoping for kind of, like, a obviously he's a robot, so he doesn't need it. Yeah. But I was hoping for kind of like them trying to do a one-to-one recreation.
That's what it was in the Godzilla. Old Toho films. I do agree with you. I think they probably did it to make it more realistic.
Mm-hmm.
Like more nimble, because you want to be more nimble than fat-ass Godzilla.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do hear you. And like in the Toho films also, another big mecha we get is Mecha King Ghidorah. And Mecha King Ghidorah is just as monstrous. So if they were to do that here, make it like super, like it wouldn't be the same thing, right? Like you're,
yeah. It's just like more, it's just more menacing, really. Yeah. Like it's, I think.
He's too like nimble and wiry, and it's like less imposing because Godzilla's has got so much mass on him.
Absolutely. And I mean, that's really the only issue I have is I don't really like how he looks. I think they could have made him look more like Godzilla, mm-hmm. and I think it would have been fantastic because, I mean, Godzilla is like, he's a force to be reckoned with, and you kind of get that feeling just by looking at him. And when I look at Mechagodzilla, I'm just like, oh.
He's too wiry. I totally
agree. Yeah, he looks off. That being said, I do wish the fight went a little longer just because, I don't know, they introduced this menacing force, and it's like he's destroying the city, yes, which is terrifying. I wish maybe they had, like, introduced him sooner and been like, okay, yeah, maybe Kong fights him by himself.
Yeah, the energy source stuff was stupid. Like, you could have just, you literally could have, like, again, we scored plot low for a reason, and it's literally because, like, they chose to explain away the human stuff to get us to the end, and it was just dumb. Like, you could have done it so much easier. You literally could have said, humans tried to do it using nuclear weapons. It pissed off Godzilla. Boom.
Yep.
There you go.
Yep. Nope, but we got, like, an hour of them, so.
Of stupid science and weird, like, rainbow bridge traveling to the center of the Earth and stuff. Like, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this movie. I had a good time.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, for cinematography.
You gotta know what you're getting into.
Yeah. Yes. For cinematography, I gave it 8.5. I really love the monster stuff.
I gave it a 7.5, mostly the center of the year stuff, but really, I should say, mostly Mechagodzilla. I think they just could have done more to make him look more menacing.
Totally agree. Audio. I'm taking a page out of your book.
Okay.
The human acting was okay at its best and eye-rolly at its worst. Two characters I would have liked to have seen a lot more of was the leader of the organization and Sarazawa, because they are the voice of Mechagodzilla.
Mm-hmm.
I think they could have done a lot more with them and cut out a lot of other things. They could have cut out, even though I like Tyree and Millie Bobby Brown, they could have cut those characters out entirely, given us more of them. I hated every human involved with Kong. With the exception
Well, they
of
were
the
just
girl.
Like they were just, like
they're
manipulative
awful
and
they're
like
awful.
Oh yeah,
there's terrible
Absolutely.
Fucking humans. Like literally, I was like, I whispered to them, like, these people are awful. Like I came in here ready to root Godzilla ripping Kong apart, and they're making me feel bad for Kong, and yeah. So again, the acting and the writing of the characters just terrible. You agree?
Oh, 100%.
Okay. Score. It's Godzilla and Kong score with a fucking synthwave beat to it and mixed together. It's awesome. It is. I've actually listened to the album since. It is awesome.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Well, I
haven't gone that far.
I like the Godzilla theme song.
Okay.
Like, I always have. Like, going
I'll
back,
have to
like,
hear it again because I honestly don't remember it, if I'm being honest.
I'm not doing that on the stream. Sorry. And I don't have a fancy board like you can, so I can't do that.
Sorry.
You're good. And then the sound effects, I thought the destruction of the world was, the monster sounded good, Kong's roar was awesome, Godzilla's roar was awesome, Mechagodzilla sounded great. Again, this movie shines when we're looking at the monsters. The movie is lacking when we're not.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would agree with you. With monster stuff and the human stuff, the soundtrack for me is kind of like it doesn't really stand out to me. I would honestly have to hear it again to know it.
I also like mentioning the soundtrack. I like how they sampled in whenever Kong was there, because you saw Kong Skull Island and that had a lot of like throwback to like the 70s era music. I like how when Kong was on screen, they kind of did something similar to it, kept keeping that same vibe with him. I thought that was smart. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's okay. I mean, it, mostly, for me, it's really hard to rate this score because we just pre-recorded Saw, so that theme is, like, right there in my mind.
Well, no, I think it's totally fine because, again, the Godzilla theme is iconic. The Kong theme is iconic. We talked about that when we reviewed the original movies.
Yeah.
But it's not at the forefront here, which I think is a detriment to it. I really do. Because
unfortunately, we get people instead.
Yeah, and I think it's a detriment because they are so iconic. Like, I think Saw is a lot more for us since it kind of came out when we were younger and it's kind of grown up with us. And it is amazing, too. Like, it is absolutely amazing.
That fucking hell is that? Oh, man.
But this is... I've actually been listening to that every once in a while now since we've been doing it. But Godzilla and Kong is, like, definitely, like, if Saw and Michael Myers... Like, all those themes are, like, up in, like, tier A+. The Godzilla and Kong stuff is at the very least, like, an A- tier. Like, still in the top rankings, just not there. But I think you see that difference here when you're comparing it to, like, the best. And when you don't use this to its best capability.
Yeah, like, I definitely will go back and listen to
you
it.
Should,
I do. Yeah, I will, for sure.
So, for audio, I, again, took a page out of your book. I gave it a 6.
Yeah, I gave it a 5 because, I mean, the monster stuff is awesome and people stuff just fucking sucks.
This score is so much lower than how I actually enjoyed this movie, and it's only going to get worse. So, how scary.
Okay. I can go first if you want.
I think we probably are saying the same thing. Go ahead.
I mean, it's a monster fighting movie. It's like an action movie. There's
not.
Nothing.
There's a couple
nothing.
Of jumps, maybe, because I did feel for Godzilla. I mean, both Godzilla and Kong. Like, I did... Like, but it happened so early when Kong was getting drugged down underneath the water. Like, I knew he wasn't going to die. There was still an hour left of the movie.
Yeah.
But
there
was no way to that unless they're going to go to the center of the earth and find a new Kong. You know what I mean? And so maybe people could include that. But this kind, I think this highlights so well what we've been talking about in. This kaiju season, we start out with these really real fears when it comes to these kaiju. Like, what is our responsibility for the nuclear fallout when it comes to Godzilla? What is our responsibility when we go to these foreign countries and, like, and just use colonialism and pull people back that don't, like, or nature back that doesn't belong to be here? Or even with birds, right? Like, what happens when nature does something that we can't account for? Hell, Jaws, right? Like, these older movies tap into something primal. But it seems like now that that's not what kaiju is. It's the big fighting, which is fine. It is totally fine.
It's great.
But it's not very scary, and it doesn't really behoove itself well to a horror podcast. So that's why, unless like a patron forces it, I really don't ever see us coming back to this.
Yeah.
But...
I mean, we have talked about kind of rewording it into something else, but I think that'll be...
There's something I might want to add to it that Rachel has talked about that kind of covers it. We'll talk about it at the end. Off stream, but
okay.
How scary? I gave it a 1.
Oh, 1, absolutely. I mean, it's which again is like
this score is so much lower than how I feel about the movie.
If you know what you're going into in this movie, it is amazing.
Which
it
is
great.
Exactly what we did. Devin and I went into this with a big bag of popcorn and some M&Ms. Like, we are not watching Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
We are not watching Goodwill Hunting.
Well, you're
hunting.
Just like, you're
we
going there to watch
two monsters
big
beat the
things
each other.
Fight. Yeah.
All right. For plot, I gave it a 6.5. Justin gave it a 5.5. For cinematography, I gave it an 8.5. Justin gave it a 7.5. For audio, I gave it a 6. Justin gave it a 5. And for how scary, it got ones across the board. That gives it a Here's Johnny final score of a 51. And that does put it kind of lower on our list. Oh man, it does not deserve to be where this is at.
I know, and it again, it. I mean, obviously, it's not a horror movie. I just think that I don't know this the whole kaiju thing. We gotta. There's a reason we cut the season short.
Yeah. So it actually. Oh man, what a shame here. Wow, Larry, learn how to click the right lane. It falls between Resident Evil Extinction, which is the third Resident Evil movie, and right above the new Pet Cemetery.
But the problem is
it doesn't deserve it.
No, it doesn't deserve it.
Like, we have like those movies I just listed off. It actually made me cringe a little bit to sit here and say that that's where it falls, because it is so much better than that.
Absolutely. Like, hands down, I think that.
Oh, that hurts.
Yeah, that's rough.
But that's what happens, because one of our categories is how scary. So it can be a fun, even if it's like a really good movie, if it gets tanked in the scary department, it's going to fall.
Yeah.
And that's how we designed the show. Damn. If you want an alternating opinion, so I've talked a little bit to Matt, and I think he might have enjoyed it a little bit more than us. Seagram, the runner of our website and one of our patrons and executive producer of the pod, he is releasing his review of Godzilla King of the Monsters. It will come out the day after you hear this over on the Here's Johnny website. Again, super easy now. It's heresjohnnypodcast.com. Justin, let's play a commercial from one of the member podcasts, the Kaleidoscope Media Network, and head on in to the closing.
Ghosts. Split souls. Monsters. Sociopathic villains.
Cold-blooded murders.
And nightmares becoming reality.
Does this sound like horror to you? Actually, these are all things that can be found in the Harry Potter series.
It can be scarier than you might think.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Audrey.
And in our podcast, Wizard Studies, we talk about all these parts of the wizarding world, and even some more lighthearted stuff.
We can be found anywhere you listen to your podcasts, and on Instagram and Facebook as Wizard Studies Podcast, and Twitter as Wizard Studies.
Now back to your regularly scheduled horror talk on Here's Johnny.
Straight ahead, buddy. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. We are finally here, and I'm ingesting them as quickly as I can.
I know. I'm actually really excited. The only scary thing is I'm looking at it, and, like, we have a lot of content to crunch out. You are going to be playing a game called Realm of the Dead on stream, correct?
Yeah, I'm going to try. So by the time this comes out, I might have already tried.
Okay.
If not, I am definitely going to the day after this comes out on Tuesday.
Okay, cool.
For sure, I'll make sure that I do. Yeah, we kind of decided that Death Stranding isn't really a game that you probably want to watch two people play back to back.
No, there's no reason to. You're totally right on that.
And so Larry picked a... I don't remember what you said, what you searched, so...
I piped in most obnoxious games on PS2.
So I'm playing one of those games.
Well, I was going to give you Dark Cloud 2.
I know, you said but no. That's like a cop out. I can't cop out, man. I can't do that.
If you did pick that, I was going to make you do all the building.
You know what? Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
That's like my favorite part of those
Me
games.
Too. Okay, cool. I should have known. When it comes to RPGs, you and I are pretty much
oh,
on
yeah.
the same page.
Oh, yeah. I was going for the platinum in the like the PS4 re-release
yeah.
kind of thing mm-hmm. of Dark Cloud, but fuck, man, getting all those weapons like is ridiculous. But the town building stuff is fine because I fucking did it. Like it's
so
like
much, that's what
my
I did
favorite.
The old, yeah, when I first got it, that's all I did. It was so much fun going out and grinding out materials and coming back and building
more.
Man. I loved it. I'm still waiting for a game to like do that again, which I haven't experienced.
Unfortunately, Level 5 Productions is no longer releasing games in the States, and we will probably never get a Dark Chronicle 3, unfortunately. Bar. Yeah, sorry.
But yeah, so we have the Saw coming up, and again, you're getting two reviews off rip. The first Saw movie, the first Saw game. Following that is going to be two discussion-based episodes.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Which will be summaries of two arcs. One we're calling the Amanda arc. One we're calling the Hoffman arc.
And the worst part is I realized last night watching 3, I think I could have chosen a better name to not spoil it.
Yeah, you should have. I actually thought that too. I was going to message you, but it was too late.
Yeah, I fuck.
Following that, we will have a week hiatus. We will be reviewing Resident Evil Village, which will be out by then, which I'm pretty pumped about.
Oh my god, when does that come out? Oh no.
It drops May 7th. We have a month to the day we are recording.
Holy shit. And how long do we have to beat it?
We have a solid week.
Okay, good.
A whole week.
I kind of like...
I'll be moving. Like, I get my keys May 6th.
Right.
Which is fine, because you're streaming that one. And I might go back and stream it later, but I'm not going to be playing it on stream. I just want to beat it and be done with it.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm telling you. I'm taking May 7th. I will be... I'll just say it here. May 7th, I will be streaming that game, hopefully, front to back.
Amazing.
I will like start at... Yeah, I'll start at like 6 or 6:30. Get it done. Probably finish by like 10 o'clock at night or something. Oh my god, fuck! I don't.
Then we will be reviewing Jigsaw.
Yes. And which have you seen Jigsaw?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've
because
seen all of them.
I know that. I mean, we obviously cover this, and Rachel obviously hasn't seen any of them. But I don't think Mars said she has not seen Jigsaw.
I think you're right. I think you're totally right.
Yes.
And then Spiral. The review of Spiral is slated to come after that. However, Canada is a lot more restrictive than the United States.
Yes.
HBO has said that it might only be a theatrical release. I'm hoping that the success of Godzilla Kong kind of pushes them away from that.
Yeah.
And I think it might. But
be nice.
We are not going to review that movie without Justin. So that
I
one
appreciate
might,
it.
Of course, that's not even a question. So that one might get pushed. Depending upon Justin's ability to see it, I would feel so dirty doing that without you. So don't even think it's totally fine.
I did spend all of my workday today hunting down a PR contact for Lionsgate, and I have reached out to them. So hopefully something comes
of
that.
We're going to do the best we can, and
we'll
see what happens. But yes, so that's pretty much it, Justin. Any other big thoughts before we take a quick break from Kaiju for 6-7 weeks?
Honestly. The break is going to feel so good.
when we come back, we have Alex, our newest patron's Fourth Century, which is the Blood Sea anime. I've been talking to you. I have ideas about that. Remind me to mention it after the show about that in particular. The Death Stranding review, our patron force crappy kaiju movie, which I am not looking forward to. I honestly might make you do the background notes on that. I don't know if I can bring myself to do it for some of these movies.
Why don't we make it whoever's movie wins can send us the background notes. I'll read them.
Okay. Or maybe they can even record an audio segment for it.
I like that idea.
To be followed by Can Kaiju Be Scary? Which I think will be a fun discussion, like looking over, because that episode's always more of like a seasonal synopsis discussion.
Yeah.
We'll end it with Dark Souls 3, which I am stressed about.
Fuck. I keep forgetting about
capital
that.
Capital letters about that.
Oh,
I'm not
my
joking.
God. Oh, shit.
I am. Because like, the thing is, like, I won't be able to start that until after. My goal is to have Death Stranding beat before I move.
Okay.
And then start playing Dark Souls.
Yeah, I need to start maybe.
I am
Fuck.
Stressed I... about that, sir. That is not. Yeah. I am actively worried about it.
Well, so why don't we will play it. We'll get it done. But maybe it'll be the next season opener. Maybe.
Nope. You promised those people that we would have it as a Twitch thank you if we made it to affiliate. It will be done.
I know. Fuck.
We might have to add a movie or two in there. Maybe we'll get Colossal in there for Rachel or some of these other ones we had to push. But it will be how we end the season.
We should, if we need the time, I would really like to add Shin Godzilla because I do
really
kind of want to see
really
how
Japan handled it.
I mean, yeah.
We'll talk about it. If we need time, there's definitely options.
Okay.
So that's the rundown. Head over to the website. Make sure you check that out. Justin, that's all I got. Until next time, guys, stay scary. The Here's Johnny podcast is brought to you by Larry and Justin. You can find the show on Twitter at Here's Johnny Cast, and you can find Larry at Beaver LA.
You can find Justin at Pickle Thing, and you can email the show at heresjohnnypodcast@gmail.com. You can look us up on Facebook at Here's Johnny Podcast.
As always, in the show notes, you can find links to the Discord. and to the website. We are also on Instagram at heresjohnny_podcast.
Also in the show notes, we'll have a link to the Twitch and YouTube channels. And if you would like to support the show, you can head on over to patreon.com/heresjohnnypodcast. Every cent goes into the show. And yeah, we just really use it to make the show better. Again, I just want to say thank you very much to our patrons. You guys help make this possible.
But yeah, Patreon is the way we support the show. We aren't looking to get rich. And like Justin said, every dollar, every cent, it all goes back in. There's some pretty cool tiers. So head on and look at that.
But until next week, see you guys later.